Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings and blessings, blessed souls. This is Ranzo Joseph Goodman, and we're live because we want to stay alive. In Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of crime, but Rachamim, instructions of mercies. The 79th class, 9180 of Soul Class, vibing on Prophecy Park. We'll be joined by co-host from the Village of Light, Orlando, California, Mordechai Moses Sontag, who is also his host of his own Blog Talk Radio show, Talking Infinity. Mordechai, good evening.
Good evening, Don, and good evening, everyone out there. What a beautiful right. day today.
And if anyone's out there, Mordechai, that means they're in there, which is inside the blessed thoughts and speech and action manifesting from the one who said, let there be a creation for each and every a creation featuring enough space and place for every nation in this generation, a soulful revelation. Before we go on, Mordechai, I'd like just to remind everyone that Soul Class, Soul is an acronym for S-7-O, original O-2, universal air laws, which are pointing in the direction of seven eternal and axiomatic commandments. Number one, not to blaspheme the Creator, one of the Creator's names, or the primary name, the Yud, and then the He, and then the Vov, and the He. Number two, not to commit acts of idolatry. Three, not to commit acts of premeditated murder. Number four, not to commit acts of adultery. Five, not to commit acts of stealing. Number six, not eat the limb of an animal while it's still alive. Number seven, to read of righteous statutes in every land. Mishpatim Tzotkim, righteous judgments. That will enforce those six commands. And it's not just about seven universal axiomatic commandments, but souls, and that's where the buck stops for the blessed children of Noah. It's actually it's an entranceway. It's a portal entrance. And I'd like to share with everyone, Mordechai, is before we get to talking more about the specifics of what a prophet is, I'd like to glean, and I'd like to get your, you know, give me some feedback on this. I basically contracted the original language of the teaching called Shari Yuchot, the Gate of Unification by the second Lubavitcher Rebbe. And I basically boiled it down to four axiomatic statements, and I'd like you to interface with them. I guess we'll do it one at a time. I'd like to just a gut reaction from your part, and then I want to read something from the Rambam, this concept of purity, because purity is connected to the purification of self, to be privy for revelations that we call prophecy. Here we go. This is a brief snippet that I wrote, humble effort I wrote the other day, called Contracted Essence, while I was actually sitting in an emergency room at Maimonides Hospital in Brooklyn, New York. So here we go. Contracted essence. Imagine comprehending a divine unity encompassing how energy, matter, time, space, and soul are merely components being caused by worlds of intellect, thought, speech, and action. So Mordechai, what do you think of that first axiomatic statement?
What I think about it is it's very interesting because, you know, some people try to prophesize, you know, they believe that they are prophets, they want to be prophets. Now, that is impossible for the matter that, for that simple fact that a prophet needs to be chosen by the Creator himself. Now, just wanting, it doesn't mean that one is prepared. Preparation means can mean a lot of things, and thought, speech, action, and I believe it was feeling that you were talking about.
Right.
These four axiomatic points are an end result of an endless preparation of a soul, and when that thing had been achieved by the soul, that's when the Creator establishes a connection and reveals to a prophet that he or she is a prophet.
Beautiful. So the second axiomatic statement I'd like to say. First of all, can you hear me clearly, Mordechai? I have a low bar reading on my cell phone. Are you hearing me clearly?
Yes, your cell phone is in a dying mode. I can actually hear that your voice is slightly vibrating, so I hope it's not going to drain on us here.
Yeah, we'll make our best effort. We'll see what happens. As they say, you know, in the world of farming, horse manure happens, so we shouldn't be surprised and we won't be disappointed as well. Anyway,
exactly.
The second axiomatic statement, imagine any human being could bring to his or her human intelligence a scenario as described above with such clarity, the light of their previous consciousness would appear like the depth of night. Your reaction to that, Mark?
The depth of night could be a huge sleep. The depth of night could be years of sleeping. It could be only a second of sleeping before birth. So in preparation of reaching that intellectual standard, there is rest needed and more downloading from the infinite creation.
Beautiful. Third axiomatic statement is, should any person seeking the Creator want to learn about what was just described in axiomatic statement 1 and 2? What do you think, Mordechai? Should a person be concerned with understanding how energy, matter, and time, space, and soul are the mere compounded matter being caused by higher levels of intellect, thought, speech, and action? And do people want to come to realize that their previous level of consciousness is like the depth of night compared to their current level of consciousness when uplifted by eternal teachings, like, for instance, by the teachings of Torah?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
what do you think?
You know, it is what I think is definitely not only important to set out on a quest of understanding of these principles, but it's basically an inbuilt mechanism within every human being. If you take, for example, atheism or Darwinism or the Marxist ideas, they take out the divine from a human soul, a human being, and these ideologies, for example, putting a stop, a halt on this search. There you are, this is what you are, you've evolved from a monkey, no more search is needed, etc., etc. But the person that accepts the fact that there's higher understandings, he or she will always look for more. And it is not only a good thing, but it's advisable. It's an inbuilt mechanism.
As you like to say, it's in our DNA.
Yeah, there are inorganic ideologies out there, too, which we don't want to be involved in.
Right. I just, you know, you talk about, like, say, Darwinism. You know, they took that we evolved from the monkeys. But is there any proof that monkeys evolved from trees in survival mode?
I don't think so.
Anyway, let's go further. The fourth axiomatic statement, I'd like to state to all the blessed souls listening tonight, I hope, that we will be privy to the archived version of eyes and vitalize and animate our bodies. So regardless of a person's consciousness, whether it be in the pursuit of prophecy or just wanting to be more conscious as a human being, I think that to know that is continually illuminating not just our physical eyes, but the eye of our intellect and the eye of our heart, and giving us the very life that we cherish, that we can stand upon the living land and talk about these concepts. Your feedback on that?
Don, you have, within your question, you gave the answer. So all I can say is that you presented it beautifully, so I have really nothing else to add about these eyesights that we are talking about here. This is we can clear our eyesights. You know, sometimes we eat inorganic food, like inorganic thoughts, speech, and action, can blur our vision towards further development and further deeper connection with our Creator. But when we intake the right nourishment, the vitamin E content within the right nourishment of thought, speech, and action will sharpen our eyesights, and we can see it more clearly, and we can talk about it more clearly, what we see and how we feel and what we have learned. And that's when one becomes a teacher, per se, of those that do want to progress even further. Let's say in our example, it's a rabbi. From that on, you know, more can partake from this organic development of human soul.
Amen. Now, before we get into the body of the teaching, we have about 19 minutes to go, Mordechai. I want to quote something. Yesterday, you know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, may his merits protect us, he had advised the nation of Israel and actually also all of the inhabitants of the world to learn the teachings of Rambam. And we learned about the law, we concluded the laws of mikvaot, which are basically used to allow a Jewish Israelite woman to purify herself after exiting a state of menstrual impurity, in order that she can become one flesh with her husband again. But also it's necessary for the man at times to immerse himself and also to immerse various types of vessels. But the Rambam makes basically an axiomatic statement. After we spent a lot, probably basically about the last 5 months, if those of us who learn a chapter a day of Rambam's eminent work, the Mishnah Torah, that he writes the following in the last chapter of the Laws of Mikvah, the following statement, and we'll see where we're going with Mordechai, and blessed listeners or blessed souls are listening in. This whole idea of purity, which is connected to preparing oneself to prophesize or to learn, to better understand who these prophets of Israel and also the prophets of the nations were and will be, of course, in the Messianic Age, which is hopefully will transpire speedily in our days. So the last law in, let's see what chapter, I think this is the 11th chapter. Yeah, it was the 11th chapter, the 12th law. The Rambam writes the following. It is a clear and revealed matter that the concepts of purity and impurity are scriptural decrees. And the idea of purity and impurity are not things given over to just basic human understanding, because they are in the category of Torah mitzvot, Torah commandments, biblically inscribed commandments, which Moshe was given by the Most High, called chukim. They're basically higher than human reason. Because we have to understand that when a person immerses themselves in a body of water, body of living waters from impurity, the impurity is not because the person was covered with mud or filth that can be washed away with water. And I'm just going to mention parenthetical was, if that was true, then a person could take a shower. Why go to the bother of going to a mikvah? Instead, immersion in waters which are designated for that purpose according to Torah and biblical clarification requires the focus of the intent of one's heart. So the sages of Israel mentioned, quote, when one immersed oneself but not intend to purify him herself or herself, it's like a person did not immerse himself at all. And although it is a scriptural decree that there is something being alluded to here, and this is what's being taught to us, as Rambam concludes, one who focuses his heart on purifying himself becomes purified once he immerses. That's a physical type immersion, even though there is no evidential change in the body. Similarly, one who focuses his or her heart on purifying his or her soul from the impurities of the soul, which have been, I'm mentioning this parenthetically, which have been sullied by the vanities of this world, which are the wicked thoughts and bad character traits that a person can become accustomed to. And once a person can work to purify him or herself from those wicked thoughts and bad character traits, because a person resolves within his heart to distance him or herself from such counsel and immerse his soul in the waters of which. So what knowledge is likened to purifying waters, as it says in the prophet Ezekiel 36:25, quote, I will pour over you pure water, and you'll purify purities from all your false deities. I will purify you. And the Rambam concluded this section with, Blessed be the merciful one who grants assistance. So the beautiful thing about this Mordechai is that the conclusion of this law, the Rambam says, blessed be the merciful one who grants assistance, and where are we being assisted to if we choose to do so? Is to purify ourselves from wicked thoughts and bad character traits. What's your take on this, Mordechai?
Well, Moses Maimonides had some very overstanding thoughts, and he was looking far into the future in many of his writings. I've had a chance to read some of his works, and I believe that most of the Islamic traditions did borrow a lot from him, because he were so way far ahead of his time. I'm talking about the good character traits of a relationship between teacher and student, not those that are not really lovable by our Western societies. Now, when we are looking into purifying our thought, speech, and action, and our heart, we find that it's not that simple most of the time, because naturally we are all human beings. We have we sometimes short of temper. We have anger issues. We have maybe a bad word is slipping out of our tongue. But in any case, just to look towards the purification, just to understand that there is such thing, can greatly reduce us to use these bad character traits. For purifying, dipping into water, it's a very interesting thing, because it brought up a thought within my head as we were talking about this. just the thought of immersing oneself into water can ignite a new thought pattern, a new emotional pattern within. Even the Torah talks about, sometimes a prophet sent a leper into immerse himself in water, because a lot of times leprosy did not appear as a physical sign first, but it did appear as a spiritual sign. So first, what happened really, a leper became a leper spiritually. So, but by immersing oneself in the water, this purification did happen, and the purification of thought, speech, and action, and heart condition also. So when a woman does the same thing, it is a great great change within the crystal structure of her waters, because we are 70% of water naturally. So those prophets and those laws did mark a very important point, because what is happening really during a cycle, a woman's cycle, a menstruation cycle? What really happens is a detoxification procedure within the body, and the waters are in despair. The waters of a human being, while this very heavy detoxification through blood goes through a woman, the waters are mixed up. But by immersing oneself into clear crystal water, a balance is created, a balance within everything, and it will radiate into a higher intellect. It's not only a bodily balance seeking and a bodily purification. Balance and purification is not the same word, but in this matter, we could almost use it in the same sense.
Beautiful. And so therefore, that for instance, the prophet, the woman, out of her menstrual cycle, the prophet.
Don, your end is breaking up really bad. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we still have still have 10 minutes left on our radio show. So I will take over on as long as Don is out. So if he's coming back, I hope he's coming back soon. We will continue we'll continue our conversation on this matter. A prophet, a woman, who's especially is a woman during her cycles, is under the same law as a non-prophet woman. So, are you back, Don? Don, are you back?
Yeah, I got disconnected.
Okay.
Just like we
no
said,
problem.
Worse when it happens.
Yeah, I've continued it for you.
Anyway, so thank you. So I'd like to go back now to the, even though we've gone 21 minutes into the show, again, to just bring this essential point out that a prophet or a person getting in preparation for prophecy is like the woman going from the menstrual state towards the state of purification in order to become one flesh and then repopulate the earth with the help of her husband, of course, and the blessing of the Most High. Because what the prophet is doing, he's basically what, you know, in his interest is to be basically be in feminine mode, to be receiver of what, as we called in the last show, the Sechol HaPoel, the active intellect, which is basically flowing ultimately from the Most High. And this is what the Rambam talks about in the Guide to Perplexed, may be honored and exalted, talking about, of course, the ineffable one. So I want to go now with the 8 minutes to go, and I don't know how much more time I'll have to cover after this, because this is a very complex, but a simple concept, ironically and paradoxically, about the idea that is brought up by the Arizal, who lived from 1534 to 1572. His name was Yitzhak Luria. He's also known as the Ari HaKodesh, the Holy Lion of Tzfas, which is north of Israel, which I had the pleasure of living there about 10 months in the beginning of my marriage, over 20 years ago, Baruch Hashem. That the Arizal Mordechai, and anyone listening in, talks about the idea that the prophet needs to intend to receive a light from the Most High. And light is allegorical, meaning a level of awareness, through 10 primary attributes of the Most High, which in the Hebrew called Es Sfirot, 10 Sfirot, which are divine attributes. And what are those divine attributes consist of, Mordechai? Well, we see that the Most High, he's Ein Sof, he's infinite. But yet he has to, so to speak, not because he must, because in his wisdom and will made us in a contracted, limited form. So therefore, our awareness has to be in interacting with limited or dimmed, or should we say, dimmed down revelation of Elokut, godliness. And it comes down to the agency of these 10 Sfirot. What are these 10 Sfirot? You have Chochmah, meaning the Most High is the source of all attributes of wisdom. Bina, understanding, the Most High is the source of all attributes of understanding. Das, Dat, the Most High is the source of all attributes of knowledge. And this is discussed in a very hidden way by actually the blessings of, or the description of who the Mashiach will be, the Messiah will be, which is talked about in chapter 11 in verse 2, which says the Spirit of Hashem will come upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of Hashem. But there are other attributes. There's several attributes we have to discuss as well, that the Arizal is saying that the person who is waiting to receive prophecy must meditate upon, that this is the attribute of Chesed, that the Most High is the source of all kindness, Gevura, which is the Most High is the source of all might or restriction of the consciousness, Teferis, where there's beauty, where there's a synthesis of kindness and restriction or might. Then there's Netzach, the Most High is the source of all conquering, meaning the information must flow into the creation, the information must flow to the prophet. Then Hod, that it must come out in a splendorous way to the prophet. He must realize that Most High can reveal in a splendorous way the imagery that is given through his active and healthy mind, or his or her mind, because the female prophets are well throughout history. And then there is Yesod, that the Most High is the foundation of the earth and the foundation of heaven. And then Malchus, that the Most High has all kingship. And this is alluded to, Mordechai, in the book of Chronicles, one can see in the Book of Chronicles, chapter 1, chapter 29, verse 11. The only attribute which is not mentioned here, which in verses specifically, whether it be in Isaiah 11:2, or Chronicles 29:11 in Chronicles 1, was the attribute of Yesod, foundation. But I think King Solomon mentions that Tzadik is Yesod Olam, that the righteous man or woman, the Tzadikus, is the foundation of the world. And with that being said, that the prophet is meditating upon these 10 general attributes, so the Moshe has much more than them, but in order that her mind is focused, the idea is they want to draw down the divine light of the Most High, the Ein Sof, the Infinite One, down level by level through those 10 attributes I just mentioned, until it reaches a person's nefesh ha-sichus, intellectual soul, and then from there it reaches the animating soul, which is involved in the actual physical energizing of the human being, and also within that, the power of imagination. We're not talking about fantasy in the negative sense, we're talking about fantasy in the way of, or imagination, way of putting abstract ideas together. And the Arizal mentions in the Shari Kedusha, the Book of Holiness, chapter 3, teaching number 5, that the revelations that the prophet is going to go through are going to resemble some sort of physical form, and if he or she will understand them as if he saw them with his own eyes. I think that type of teaching is taking prophecy and demystifying it, but also showing people that, and the blessed soul listening, and for us to learn ourselves, that there's a mechanics involved. Prophecy is not a freebie. It's a dedication. I don't want to say it's a martial art, but it's an endeavor that any human being needs to learn about, understand. That's the way the prophets prepare themselves according to the oral tradition of Israel, to understand what a real prophet must practice, be apprenticed in, being taught by a prophet above him, just as how do you see, like a sensei will teach a student in martial arts. What's your take on this, Mordechai, on the actual, the dedication and the focus of mind, heart, and spirit the prophet must have in order to get a flow of divine insight, which is known as prophecy?
The 10 points that you've mentioned are very powerful points for anyone who desires to become a prophet. And to study these points, especially that Hashem, the Creator, is the foundation of everything. Everything, not only heaven and earth, but you know, go further a bit further, even our even ourselves. So, and therefore, when someone is see, we are further into our knowledge. A prophet back in the days of the Torah of the kings had been limited on understanding of the mechanic nature of our universe and the physical nature of our universe. It does not mean that physics is not equal with the Creator Himself. What it means that the Creator has more to offer within our physics and mathematics than what we had just achieved. We are only scratching the bottom of the pan. There's so much above all that. So a prophet today, what I see, well, the way I see it, does not only have to be able to connect the intellectual points of occurrences that Hashem presented to him, and not only have to have a very interesting mind, very interesting intellectual way of pointing the points of imagination. So as you have mentioned, you put it in a perfect and beautiful way to connect all of these. A prophet almost have to be a mechanic engineer, because to be able to understand the exact and perfect messages as a vessel, to understand it and translate it into human language, because Hashem talks through not only words but many, many other things, and therefore a prophet will always bring the message from Hashem what is the way out of, let's say, a negative event. A prophet doesn't only prophesize about negative events, but he also does prophesize about positive events, like in the case of King David, how he had anointed King David. Samuel had anointed King David. It was a positive event. He knew who King David was. So, therefore, the way you put it, it's just beautiful. You know, I can only put stuff together within my imagination to try to top you, but I cannot really.
Well, the thing is the fact that we talk about these things, and that's, you know, it's not just that we're talking about it, Mordechai, and blessed listeners are, actually, the show is on, but not streaming, Mordechai, but hopefully people will keep on listening to hear the archive version, is that if we're talking about it, that means we're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we talk about doesn't even cover one-tenth of what we're thinking about on a conscious and a subconscious level. There's one thing I just want to mention as well as we close out the show, Mordechai, is that I mentioned one attribute I skipped over, that the prophet must also mention the tenth attribute, which I did. I skipped over, unfortunately, but I'll mention it now, is the attribute of kingship, meaning kingship, rulership, all rulership is given over to the Most High. And the prophet ultimately must bring out that kingship to him, not just experiencing the prophecy, but the level of kingship in any human being is actually the speech that they can project out into the creation, although it seems to be insignificant, mere words that people are uttering in the creation. When those words are being spoken in such a spontaneous fashion by the prophet, as we read at the very scenarios that were mentioned in the Torah and in the Tanakh, okay, and more elaborated even fully by the elucidators of the Torah Shabbat, the oral Torah, the great sages of Israel, otherwise known as rabbis or rabs, or yeshivas, that we see that ultimately what seems to be the most, mundane experience, the act of speaking, can actually bring out the most profound levels of consciousness dissemination. And that's why the Most High was sending us a very important, he gave us a very important instruction, that when the prophets prophesied to the masses, it wasn't by means of a letter as much as they were speaking out to show them, hey, the very speech you use to utter mundanities of daily life can also be uplifted to actually project out, ultimately, to its highest level, the kingship of the Most High, who was recorded to begin Genesis, and who said, let there be light. And he saw that light was good. So we can hopefully project out light through our speech in shows like this. And this is the conclusion. We're now concluding on the 79th class of Sofas, Vibing and Prophecy, part number 2. I'd like to thank our co-host, Mordechai Ben Mosey Sontag, live from the Village of Light out in California, Dungeons & Goodman, from Kessicon Heights in Brooklyn. Wish everyone has a sweet night, a sweeter morning, and days to be animated by the understanding that the Most High will continue to illuminate our eyes and animate our physical beings, that we should understand that being human is a human that realizes we come ultimately from the one eternal super being. Mordechai, would you like to say anything else to the audience before we call it tonight?
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great day, great day, and great night. Thank you,
okay.
Don.
Shalom. Take care.
Shalom.